Okay, call to order the Town of Curie Beach Planning and Zoning Commission for Wednesday, March 2nd, 2022. First item on the agenda is adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda?
So move.
Okay, second. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Next item is adoption of the minutes. Is there a motion to adopt the minutes?
So moved.
I'll second.
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Public comment. We have a couple of folks here. Is there any public comment? Anybody online for public comment?
Fisher.
Okay. We'll close public comment. Old business, land use plan update. I'll go ahead and provide that. I'm sure as everybody knows, Commissioner Whitley has resigned. He was the chairperson of the land use plan committee. And so I was co-chairman, so now I've been elected as chairman to finish this off. It looks like it's only going to be about two more meetings, I think. I believe we're fairly close. We're reviewing. We have one more meeting, I think, that's been scheduled for the Land Use Committee, where we're going to review chapters 1 through 6, I believe what it is. And then there might be one more meeting after that, not sure. But it pretty well is close to being finished. Once it is finished, I believe it comes to planning and zoning. I believe it comes to planning and zoning, so I'm guessing that planning and zoning will get the land use plan from the land use plan committee probably in 2 months or possibly 3 months. I think that's the schedule right now.
And then how long do we have for reviewing it? Like, when does it need to be adopted?
Well,
yeah, kind of.
I believe the process is that we hold a hearing on it. There's a public hearing.
Like a public information session.
A public information, and I believe that we technically recommend approval and forward it to council then.
Just like rubber stamp? We don't have to put any effort into it?
It doesn't have to be rubber stamp. I mean, the formal process is it does come to planning and zoning. We can make recommendations. That's my understanding is that it's not a rubber stamp, but we do make a recommendation to council.
How much time is there for that?
You'll have at least a month.
Yeah. That's a thick item.
It is a very thick item. Right now I'm reading it word to word because we're correcting language and spelling and things like that. So we had probably about a 2-hour meeting looking at chapter 6, I think it was. Wasn't it, Mr. Eldridge?
Chapter 5,
I'm sorry. It was chapter 5.
So
and it's pretty fine-tooth comb looking at this thing. So I don't think you need to kind of look at every sentence in it, but I think certainly some of the major issues. Again, if you want to look for spelling typos, you know, that's certainly fine. We found a fair number of them. So is there anything else? Mr. Eldridge, you want to, because you were there also for the...
No, I think you've covered it. Planning and zoning plays a pivotal role in recommending to council the contents of the comprehensive plan. I don't recall, seems to me like we all are going to have a legislative hearing for public input. Is that correct?
That's my understanding, is that it does go to planning and zoning for a legislative hearing, and then we make a recommendation to council. And if not, I think we had that discussion at the very start of the process. If not, we're not going to be ready by next plan and zoning, so it would certainly be the month after that. So we can find out for sure what our responsibility is for our next meeting. Okay, anything else on land use plan? All right, discussion of residential fence ordinance. What I did is, I'm sure as everybody remembers, is that we had an application for a text amendment last time. We recommended to council that it not go forward. It was not presented to council. This raised another issue that we'll talk about a little bit later. But it did not go to council to go ahead and review that. So we had a discussion with council, and what I had done is I looked at about 20 different similar tourists, nicer type of communities. looked at three or four in North Carolina, three or four in South Carolina, several in the Northeast, a couple in Virginia, a couple in California, just to get a sense about what the fencing ordinances look like. And what I found, just to kind of summarize, I might have summarized this in an email too when I did this, but basically all the ones that I looked at allowed a 6-foot fence in the back. In the front, they varied from no fences were allowed to 2.5 fences to maybe a 2.5 fence that would be 10 feet back. I think Wrightsville Beach is 42 inches. I found several that were 36 inches. We're at 48 inches. So we're a little bit on the high side of the ones that I looked at. I did, nobody allowed chain link fence, by the way. So every ordinance that I looked at did have a materials requirement. Chain link fences were only allowed around tennis courts and things like that. But the, you know, we're interested in the transition because that was kind of the big issue of whether a 6-foot fence or a 4-foot fence would be allowed in the back. Again, it was all over the place. There were some that allowed 6-foot fences at the beginning of the house, not in the front yard. Nobody allowed it in the front yard. Other ones allowed it like what we do at the backyard, defined by the points in the backyard. And then several of them had transition. For example, Sunset Beach, for example, had a transition that if you were, I think it was either 5 or 10 feet back in the side yard, then you could go from the 4-foot fence or whatever they had. I'm not even sure if Sunset Beach allowed a front yard fence, but they had it as, you know, some sort of a transition. When you get 5 or 10 feet into the side yard, then you could go to a 6-foot fence. And so I presented that to council and asked council basically whether they felt that the planning and zoning should revisit this issue and look at it, or whether they felt that the current ordinance is appropriate and fine. And what I told the council is that, based upon our discussion in the P&Z last time, is that we had people on the commission that were all over the place. We had some commissioners that felt the current ordinance was fine. Other commissioners felt that, a side fence at 6 feet might be appropriate, and so forth. So what the council did is they basically, on a consensus, 5-vote consensus, to have us revisit this issue and see how we feel about side fences, basically. And I suggested if we're going to look at side fences issue, that we also might want to look at materials. So it was kind of kicked back to us, not as a formal text amendment, but a discussion as to whether we want to recommend a change in the ordinance. So that is where we're at.
I think that, you know, having the 6-foot fence is not a problem for me, or, you know, I think that it seems to be appropriate. I think the side yard is where I struggle with, because the houses can vary. So you may have a, 6-foot fence, but if your house is setting back in the lot further than your neighbor, then you got to go to a 4, then you got your neighbor's 6-foot fence beside you. Yeah. So I think if you took it to the front or 5 foot or 10 foot back, you know, some designated point off the front of the house, or, you know, makes more sense to me than everything is 6 foot.
Let me kind of jump in there. I did look at Sunset Beach, and because I mentioned them already, is that they have the rule that either 5 or 10 feet, and some other cities have the same thing, either 5 or 10 foot back into the side yard, then you could go to the 6 foot. Actually, Sunset Beach actually recognized exactly what you're saying, that sometimes are mismatched.
Right.
I should point out that every single one that I looked at oriented the fence ordinance to the building, not to the property. Like, if you remember, our text amendment was halfway, and, you know, that sort of thing. I couldn't find a single ordinance that did that. Everything was referenced to the front of the yard, the side yard, you know, that sort of thing with the building. But what Sunset Beach had is they actually have within their ordinance a mechanism that the planning and zoning can look at mismatched fences and, based upon the aesthetics, decide whether somebody could maybe bring it a little bit forward to match up with the fence and so forth. So the Sunset Beach ordinance actually kind of addressed that issue. John looked at it, and you said that there might be a problem with that too, that if I remember, that it could raise some other issues. But remember that Sunset Beach does have that mechanism with planning and zoning. If it's mismatched and it doesn't look right, that they can go ahead and do like a I'm not sure what mechanism they would do it, but they could actually make it where it lines up to be a little more aesthetic if there's an aesthetic issue. So Okay, and it, but that was Sunset Beach that had that, that
yeah,
kind of considered it.
I think that, you know, first of all, 6-foot fence, I don't have a problem. I think it's, you know, a lot of them around, and, you know, I think it's appropriate. I just think we need to regulate where we start on the side.
Okay.
I think it makes John's life a lot easier, you know, to enforce it, because, you know, he'll get complaints about, you know, somebody's, you know, they got a 6-foot fence, and then he has to go to the 4, and then the neighbor's got 6-foot fence that's, yeah, you know, overshadowing, you know, the
right. Should point out one other thing, and I should have thought of this, is on corner yards or corner lots, the majority, not all, but I would say the vast majority recognize that if you're going to allow a 6-foot fence to come up into the side yard, that would not be allowed on the street side. So again, what Sunset Beach does is that they allow the 6-foot fence to come up to within like 5 feet or 10 feet of the front of the house. But on a corner lot, that would be on the non-street side.
Absolutely.
But on the street side, it just comes up to the back of the house for the street side on corner lots. Any other comments?
I like what Sunset Beach has done. I think it hits a lot of the concerns that I had, and a lot of people here.
Well, I know that we have to make a decision for the whole town, and not just on a specific issue. But the issue that brought this to the table now, that Sunset Beach won't resolve, because the issue was on the sides, on the street side.
Yeah, that's right.
So it won't resolve it. So if we go there,
It doesn't resolve the issue that was brought before us. But again, you're absolutely right. A text amendment it affects the whole, yeah, the whole community.
Well, first off, I'd like to apologize to the person that, yes, brought this forward to us. I've already apologized to John and to Beth, and I had to listen to the tape. I was somewhere when John spoke that who the person was and his reason for it, and that he would be available to ask questions. The conversation that took place after, I asked him questions about that. So I honestly didn't know that the person was here in the audience and who he was and why he wanted the fence. But that being said, we're doing this for the whole town. And if it stays 50% of the land, I don't know that I want to possibly change the look of the town that significantly. I have no idea how many yards are going to put up 6-foot fences. And it could be that we could come up with a bring it to P&Z and we'll pass on each one. But 50, and if it's not 50% of the yard, it still doesn't help him. Is there anything that inspections can do that can help with the individual situation?
No, sir, but Mr. Ward is here. I think you'd like to be included in the conversation.
Yeah. Fine.
He does have some points and some arguments for why he made that application. He didn't get a chance to voice those last month. So.
Just as a point, I'm not sure if we knew that he was the applicant. I mean, I was somewhat surprised afterwards.
Pointed him out and introduced him.
Yeah,
sir.
So I guess.
And I listened to the tape, and yeah, you can hear John say both of them.
Okay.
Well, after the meeting last time, I did go out and take a look also. But I think one reason people want 6-foot fences in the backyard is probably privacy. That's usually the biggest thing. That's their yard. That's their privacy. And you usually have access to that area. So one middle-of-the-road thing I thought of would be that the fence could extend on one side to include the rear door of the house, in case the situation is that the rear door doesn't enter into that backyard, which is the case we have here also. The rear door comes out the side. Mm-hmm. So when you put the 6-foot fence up, the door comes out outside the 6-foot fence. So that kind of, your whole privacy issue in your backyard is gone, where you're walking outside your fence, going back to your yard. And so if we include, pick a random number, 4 feet beyond that door, first door, that would limit the amount of cases that this would apply to, and it would also make the backyard accessible from the house.
Catherine, what do you think?
I'm not sure what I want to say.
Okay. Well, one of the things I do want to say, because I talked to several people about that, is that it was presented, and it did come out, and John is correct, about the unique situation of the applicant. However, we have to remember, I believe, that he is a resident, and we can't give any special preferences at all to anybody other than as a resident. And so we, you know, I understand the situation, but, you know, we have to look at it as if any resident would be making an application, not because of the particular situation of a police dog and his position as a police chief and all that sort of thing. We have to look at this as a resident. Yes?
I just want to point out everything that you just talked about was talked about in the after-meeting discussion.
Right. Well, the dog issue was brought up earlier, and then I believe it was the police. Okay.
I introduced him as Mr. Ward, the new police chief in Carolina Beach.
Okay, all right.
Nothing about a dog.
But anyway, I feel that's very important, is that we have to look at it as a resident and not any particular position or anything associated with that. My personal opinion is I like the Sunset Beach model. I think the Sunset Beach model takes care of it for a number of things. You know, I would personally recommend having it like 5 or even 10 feet back on the side. I think you start putting things about looking at side doors that kind of maybe create problems of giving an advantage to somebody, you know, that sort of thing. But I think going back 5 or 10 feet on the side yard would be fine. So, yes?
Do you want to invite Mr. Ward to?
Yeah, I'll do that. But I know Mr. Eldridge has something to say too.
I haven't looked at Sunset Beach. That sounds like a discretionary process, so I'd be real focused on what the approval process was for that and how council feels about that. I mean, it sounds like a quasi-judicial proceeding.
It's not discretionary in the 5 or 10 foot thing. What's discretionary in it is if the fences don't line up, that there's an opportunity to see if they line up to make it more aesthetic. But the non-discretionary is that they do allow it to the 6 foot fence to extend into the side yard, except for on a corner lot where it can't be on the street side. And I believe Sunset Beach is up to 5 feet from the front of the house.
So it's almost like an administrative variance. It's minor enough that it's built into the code. We could take a look at that.
Yeah,
I'm just saying
But that's the only discretionary part of the Sunset Beach one. So.
But I agree. I think we should hear from Mr. Ward. And I'm also, I don't know the status of his application. That's unclear to me. Whether it's active or withdrawn.
And
that was news to me also. I didn't attend the last council meeting. It should have been in their packet since it had gone through P&Z. I'm not sure if something fell through the cracks there or not, but my office did not withhold that application from going to town council. So I don't know what happened there.
So it's still active and it could go to council this month?
I would assume so, yes, sir.
Okay. So anyway, when I went to the town council, I didn't know if the application was going to be presented or not. You know, I found out right there. And so if the application was going to be presented, I was going to talk about the discussion and what the recommendation of the P&Z was. It was not presented. So I just stuck with a discussion about my research and whether the town council wanted us to go back and revisit the general issue of the ordinance having to do with fences. So, Mr. Ward, I'm going to go ahead and present.
Vic Ward, 514 I, like letter I, I'm in Drew Beach. Did you look at Carolina Beaches?
No. Oh, no, I didn't. I looked at Riceville Beaches, but I didn't look at Carolina Beaches.
Is there any reason why I'm not?
No, I was just randomly picking. I looked at Southport, Sunset Beach, and Riceville Beach.
I'm not asking for anything. I'm not asking for any special privilege. As a matter of fact, I think I jumped on John for introducing me the way he did. I'm a citizen of Curry Beach. I'm not asking for anything. You know, the fence that I was wanting to put up there is going to be aesthetically pleasing. It's a white vinyl fence. It's not a chicken wire or, you know, something that he's going to be getting complaints on or whatever. It's a white vinyl fence. I really don't have a backyard. I guess I do have a backyard about from here, but the other side of that chair down there. So, and I don't have no way to get out of it unless I want to crawl through the window. So I think the side door is applicable. And I don't know, I don't think all corner lots are created equal either. I mean, when you say a corner lot. But again, a text amendment that would affect, you know, everybody. I think one council member, commission member said something about, you know, case by case basis. And I always think things are, you know, even though something may apply, I think you still have a responsibility to look at things individually. And I've got some unique things going on. I could sit up here the rest of the night and tell you, but I'm not going to waste your time. Because ironically, during the quasi-judicial hearing, I kind of wanted to laugh, but I didn't, because that's the way I felt when I come in here. I felt like minds were made up before I even, you know, before it was even looked at. So, and I still believe that. And again, the percentage thing, you know, from what I understand in history, talking with Mike Battle and some other people, that property had a history of getting complaints about signs and other things. I don't think you'll be getting complaints from me or my neighbors. I'm not blocking anybody's view. Other people want to look in my window. I may be the only view I'm blocking. And again, I'm speaking as a citizen. It's a corner lot. It's got a commercial property across the street, or what could be considered commercial church property. It's got public parking right there. So when you talk about corner lots and side streets and all that, I still think you have to look at the totality of what I'm asking. And if somebody came in here, I wouldn't waste your time coming in here if I didn't have these factors that have absolutely nothing to do with what I do for a living and been doing for 31 years. So the points I'm trying to make is, it just seems to me that I'm not asking for a whole heck of a lot. I'm really not. I mean, you would think I was asking to scale Mount Everest, which I don't plan on doing, but from what I understand, I can't even put a fence in the existing footprint of the rickety, ugly, non-aesthetically pleasing fence that was already there that I tore down when I bought the property. I can't even go back for that, kind of what I want. So I'm just in a conundrum right now. I really don't know why Carolina Beach wasn't looked at, but just FYI, it's 6 feet of Carolina Beach. I'll deal the cards I'm dealt. I had a lot of stats for you. I've got a lot of information here, but I think the decision's pretty much made. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Again, the one question I had is that, you know, your unique situation. I think we did have a discussion of this prior to the closing of the hearing, because I can remember specifically asking Mr. Batson as to whether there would be an opportunity to do an exception in this particular case, because I was interested in this particular case. And Mr. Batson, maybe you can expand upon that, because your opinion was that we couldn't do an exception. We can't look at it a one-by-one. It really has to be something for the whole community as a text amendment.
When you say exception, are you meaning variance?
A variance, yeah, a variance. And Mr. Batson's observation in this particular case is that a variance would not be appropriate because of the requirements in code. Maybe you can expand upon that.
I think you should listen to the recording from last month. That was after meeting discussion.
About the variance?
You never even asked why you wanted the text amendment until after the meeting. That's when the extra conversation.
But we had a discussion of variance. Whether a variance would be appropriate in this particular case. I do remember that. And that you specifically said that it would not be appropriate in this particular case.
It wasn't, but that was all after meeting discussion.
So our discussion of variances was after the meeting?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that I don't remember. Well, maybe you can explain right now, since that kind of came up, and the applicant is talking about a one, you know, looking at specific cases. So maybe it's appropriate to talk about that right now within the meeting.
Well, variance, you have to show a hardship for a variance, and the hardship has to do with the land. It can't be due to any of your personal issues or your actions. It's got to be something that's unique to that land, and that's what the purpose of a variance is for.
Is it unique to the land or unique to the property, too? Or the building?
It's unique to the land.
To the land.
And that's kind of some of the angle I was going at, where it actually says. That's when I said earlier, you know, not all corner lots are created equal. That's kind of what I was talking about. Because if I was in another situation, it was a corner lot, I'd never be standing here in front of you.
I wasn't part of any of those discussions, so it's hard for me to visualize at all what's going on. But it sounds like you're saying that there are unique circumstances on your property that prevents you from doing what would be reasonable and logical. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, sir.
Can you, for my own edification, can you state or can you describe what those unique situations are?
It's, you know, everybody knows, or I guess most people know, that particular area I'm at is what I say is I call it a cutthroat. You know, you got a lot of people out there using that. And by the way my particular lot is and my corner lot is, like I say, you got a church literally, you know, if the corner's here and my property's here, or the land and the lot here, right here's a church. I mean, and you got, you know, not every corner lot's got that church right there. Mm-hmm. That's a unique factor. And of course, you have public parking here. Anybody can just go up there any day and park during the summer or any other time. Not every corner lot has that. Not only do you have a church, but a ton of people parking here and all those activities. But actually, on this side, you've got the same thing. You've got public parking here. I'm not asking for a 6 foot in front of my house.
So those situations that you just described, they impact on what? Your sense of privacy?
Well, my sense of privacy, and let's leave out, I mean, I do have a dog, and she is a working dog, and I'm sorry, I'm a police officer. I apologize to everybody.
I'm just trying to understand. I'm trying to see.
I mean, she, I can bring her here, she can jump on that podium right here. She's going to jump a 4 foot fence. So I'll have to keep the dog inside. If I had a little bit of leeway, that would help me. But I'm trying to stay away from what I do for a living.
One other question I had that wasn't clear to me. Do you, if the fence was where the code now says it needs to be, did I understand you had to come out of sort of the side rear of your house?
And crawl out the window. Yes, sir.
Crawl on the rear side to get into the backyard?
Yes, sir. I don't have a back door.
And do you have a door on the side?
Yes, sir.
And so you have to come out and go through a gate to get to your backyard?
Yes, sir.
So, because of setbacks and the location of your corner lot and the circumstances surrounding your property, you don't have any privacy going out of your house into the backyard unless you're crawling through a window. Is that correct?
It
impacts on your privacy unless you, whether you could fit through the window or not. But
yes, sir, I fit through the window. Yes, sir.
And also, you need, part of your request is to increase the height of the fence because of the dog.
Yes, and the uniqueness of that lot, what we just talked about.
So you want 6 feet in a different configuration because of the circumstances.
And I'm fine with putting it way back from the front of the yard. I don't want it to get through the front of the yard. It's not going to be an eyesore. I got this Kathy beside me. I'm not blocking anybody. I mean, it's going to be They had the option to do that.
And how, when did you purchase the property?
Last year. Yes, sir, last November, maybe.
I appreciate you clearing, making a picture of what you think.
And I've got some other stuff, but again, I'm staying away from what I do for a living. I'm really trying to do that. I'm a Curry Beach resident, and I said, man, you shouldn't talk. But anyway, I can throw a lot. I got a whole sheet of stuff for you on why I value, my wife being there by herself and all the attacks on law enforcement. And it ain't going to take long because a lot of people already know where I stay at down here.
If I could ask you one more question, what you want is to bring the fence up along the side and increase it to 6 feet, is that a...
Yes, sir, in the footprint that was already there, I'm asking for 24 inches.
24 inches?
Yes, two more feet than the fence that was already sitting there.
And to bring it further up the side where you're locked in setbacks and all that to the rear corner.
And from what I understand, too, is that it's a corner lot and your access to the back is on the street side of the corner lot.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Ward, the existing wooden fence that was there, you're going to use that same footprint or you're going to come all the way to the back of your house in that gravel area?
I'm going to come around the back.
So to go all the way back around?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So it would be, if you're coming up this 6th Avenue, it would go into right where it tied into the house before.
Right.
Okay. I'm just trying to understand.
If I could ask Mr. Eldridge something real quick here, I'm much more of a fan of variance. You know, I think that, you know, rather than doing a text amendment was the way to go, and that's why I asked John about that. And I could get a sense from some of your questions as to whether you would think a variance to the existing ordinance might be appropriate in this particular case.
I think a variance is going to be easier for... I think the problem with the text amendment is it affects all properties.
Yes.
Number two, I think a variance seems to be in very limited understanding and visualization that I have might be applicable. I defer to John. John knows his stuff better than I do and knows the property better than I do. But if you could take his answers and equate them with, sounded to me like unique circumstances concerning the property, this feature surrounding the property, and also could see hardship with what he was experiencing. But again, I defer to John, but that's something that if it was me, I would look at as a feasible way to proceed because it might be easier to get to the end result that everybody can live with.
So, Ms. Ward and I had extensive conversations about this, and in all of my schooling, variances are it's supposed to be a hardship. It's pretty clear cut with what is and is not a hardship and what is and what should and should not be considered for a variance. A variance runs with the land. So if a variance was granted to Mr. Ward for this fence, and in perpetuity someone could have a fence just like that no matter what the ordinance is or zoning changes may be. I don't want to send Mr. Ward down a rabbit hole, and I think pursuing a variance would be that. And so that's why I encouraged him to apply for a text amendment.
Yeah, go ahead.
The public parking next to his side yard, wouldn't that affect the problem that he's having? And so that runs with the land, that public parking right outside there. So that can't be used? Because as soon as he said that, I thought, oh, yeah, there you go. There is a problem with that land right there because of the public parking.
And that could be argued.
Yeah, you know, I think everybody is sensitive to the situation. It may not sound like that during the last meeting, but I think everybody is very sensitive to this particular situation, the unique characteristics of the property and the building. The concern is whether we want to pass a text amendment that affects the whole town. And so if there's some way, I know how I feel, and that's why I asked the question about the variance last time. How I feel is I have absolutely no problem with trying to work out something specifically for this particular property that would accommodate access out of the side door to the backyard with a 6-foot fence up to that point. It can't extend it to the front yard. If there's some way of addressing that through a variance or some other temporary mechanism that the town might have, then I would be in favor of that. But I'm still concerned about a text amendment that would affect everybody within the town.
Well, it wouldn't really affect everybody within the town, only those houses that don't have a rear-facing rear door. And I doubt that there are many of those.
No, you've got the 50% of land.
That's not what we're saying.
So I'd like to make a point. I don't think I've been here almost 18 years, and I've never seen a text amendment get passed on the first round. This doesn't happen. The Planning and Zoning Board usually either said we agree with this language, or they say we like where you're going, we're going to revisit it, and it gets rewritten, and it either gets passed or it doesn't. I think your point about, you know, making exceptions, that's all well and fine, but you're going to have variations in how the ordinance is applied based on how the structure is on the lot. So the way it's written now on one property may meet the intent of what you guys had in mind when you made that ordinance, that it can't go any further than the rear part of the structure, meaning let's keep that 6-foot fence in the backyard. But there are other properties in town that can mean almost half of their side yard could be taken up with fence. So what I'm getting at is, it doesn't matter how you arrange this ordinance, there will be odd variations throughout town, period.
No, I agree. And there, and even if we go like the Sunset Beach approach, it still wouldn't solve that particular problem, because again, Sunset Beach, you know, does not allow side yard fences to go up to 6 feet if it's on a corner lot for the street side.
But remember what I just pointed out as far as the different variations. I encourage you to go to Fifth and H Avenue. That is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. That's a corner lot, and they have a large 6-foot fence running halfway up the property line, because guess what? Their house is up on the front of the property. So they're allowed by ordinance to run that fence all the way up there. I don't think it necessarily looks bad. I understand what you're saying as far as aesthetically pleasing. We don't want a 6-foot fence going all the way up the side yard, but what I'm trying to say again is, it doesn't matter what you write, there's variations, especially if we base it on relation of the structure to the lot.
I have one more question. How far up the side yard would you have to extend to get what it is you're looking for?
I would like to go with what was the existing footprint, which is basically just encompasses what those folks had there, the ugly, raggedy wooden fence, which would cut across. It would give me a little bit more room past my side door, but it's well... It's back from, way back from the front yard.
What's that?
Yeah, if you see the picture of the house, you can understand what they're trying to accomplish.
While you're doing that, is there any mechanism in the ordinances for temporary type of things? You know, not a variance that's permanent, but for something that could be temporary?
Sunset Beach trying to deal with it.
All right, now turn sideways. That's the back perimeter of his property right there where you see the gravel. This is his side yard perimeter right here. That's the back door that he's talking about. I believe these
the side door
right here are your master bedroom. Is that correct? There's a bedroom in there.
Bedroom, yeah. And the one on the left is the master, yep.
Yeah, so I believe what he was trying to do, number one, was encompass the 6-foot fence where he could let his dog out around the back. And if he could, he wanted to take it up there to encompass his bedrooms so that they were all protected from the roadside there, from the low windows there.
I mean, I can certainly appreciate what he's asking. I mean, there's no question about it. That's why I'm trying to figure out if there's a way we can deal with this on an individual basis rather than a text amendment that would affect the whole town.
Chief?
Yes, sir.
Is there any language in anything you've read that Homeland Security has given about employees and their safety precautions for their home?
I can tell you that everybody knows assaults on law enforcement officers are increasing. I fear for my wife. When I was on the highway patrol for almost 30 years, although my wife is apparently a former KGB agent who can handle a weapon very well, I still fear for her every night. We arrest a lot of drugs on this island, both especially down where I'm working at. Like I say, it won't take people long to figure out where I stay at, and I'm away from the house a whole lot. And when I'm away, normally my other companion, other than my wife, is with me a lot because she's going through certification process right now. So the bride will be there by herself. You know, the number of officers killed increased 36% from 2020. This has been a while back when I first came here the first time. You know, 24 been shot, 4 killed very, very recently. And the leading cause was ambush style. I mean, people are sneaking up on us. Even when I'm at the house, I got to sleep with one eye open. I mean, if you want me to get something, I can give you whatever you need to be as unique as you need. And like I say, if it was another area and I had purchased another residence, in Curry, because man, we won't live down here. That's why we're living down here. I want a little separation, as you can imagine. And this is the best place in the world. I'm not saying that to kiss your butt. Man, we love some Curry Beach. So that's why we bought the house down here. That being said, and again, my dog will laugh at a 4-foot fence. And I don't want some 6-year-old or some 8-year-old or some 90-year-old coming across, and I've got her out in the yard, and she don't like a certain color that day, and she jumps that fence. She will not jump the 6-foot fence. And again, it's going to be a white vinyl fence. Miss Kathy, which is, you can't see, her house is there now. I'm not blocking any views. I would be absolutely shocked if anybody came and said, I've got an issue with that fence that fellow's got, because it's going to look a whole lot better than that thing. I can tell you that.
Where's the church?
Right here.
Across the street.
And all this right here is public park.
That's why I wonder about that variance, though. With all the cars being able to be parked, that causes a problem for the land.
I'd like to point out one other thing, if you don't mind, if we can regulate back around.
Sorry, John. One sec.
If you remember, you know, last month I explained to you some of my issues that I've had with enforcing this ordinance and some of the requests. And once again, the variations with where structures are placed on the lots and all. And so I just want to make sure you understand, and if you do, I apologize, where he can legally put a 6-foot fence right now based on the way the ordinance is. It's in where that gravel is right there. That's the only place he can have a 6-foot fence. How is that even to all the other properties in town? I realize that the ordinance is good for everyone, but based on the variations for house placement, it's not evenly applied across the board. That's kind of what I'm trying to say.
That makes the Sunset Beach approach actually, in terms of having a mechanism that planning and zoning can authorize different types of fences given the unique situation, even more attractive. I do appreciate the issue. I grew up in a law enforcement family. My mother was the very first female crime scene investigator, sworn officer for the state of California. And, you know, I taught at the Post Command College Police Officer Standards and Training for California for about 15 years. So I can certainly appreciate these type of issues, particularly with the rise of the violence that's been implemented in the last couple of years against police officers and actually promoted by some sectors of society. So I do appreciate the unique situation, not only of the applicant, but also of the property. I mean, the property clearly is a problem. I would just like to work out something that's appropriate for this particular property and take care of his concerns as soon as possible.
I wonder if we, as planning and zoning, can request to town council to make a special exception, and we could come up with really, really concrete reasons why to make a special exception for this one property, and that let town council consider that.
I think you're limited under the code in this situation to text amendments or variances. There's no other mechanism that...
There's no temporary structures or anything like that?
No. So you were saying that the Sunset Beach approach had some added features to make an exception like this could be worked.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, they had a paragraph that recognizes, and now they were addressing that no matter how you set up a fencing, there's always going to be that someone's backyard is going to be different than,
correct.
You know, I mean, that, no matter what you do. And so they had a mechanism that in order to be aesthetically appropriate, that they could decide, the planning and zoning could decide to allow fences to be different depending on the individual property.
I think if you follow Sunset Beach, you're looking at 2 or 3 months worth of procedure. I'd like to hear more from John if he's got more to say, but I don't know why an application for a variance wouldn't be the way to proceed.
That's what I am seeing here. Given the uniqueness of the property, I would have no problem recommending a variance approach to this.
No.
Of course, that's a Board of Adjustment matter. But
well, the Board of Adjustment would only be if there's a...
What I suggest, Board of Adjustment handles variances, period. There's no review by anybody else. But what I would suggest is if it ends up in front of the Board of Adjustment that somebody from PCC testifies and that John testifies in addition to the applicant. Because except for this gentleman, Boa hasn't been present during this discussion. He's on the Board of Adjustment. But I think I don't know when Board of Adjustment meets again.
The fourth Tuesday of March, if they need to.
So, I mean, again, John has expressed an opinion, and I have limited knowledge, and John's been right many times where I've been wrong. But it seems to me that might be the way to proceed. It could get on this month's agenda, and to really bring it home, I would heartily recommend that perhaps you, in addition to Mr. Ward, is that your name?
Mr. Yes, sir.
And Mr. Batson, all testify. I think that could be a pretty strong case in my subjective opinion.
I mean, that would certainly be my recommendation, is that this be a variance for this particular property. I would be glad to appear and support that wholeheartedly. Given this particular property and what is recommended.
I also don't want to speak out of turn because I think it'd be up to Mandy, but perhaps the application for a text amendment can be converted to an application for a variance such that a new fee wouldn't be required.
Well, I'm not authorized to do waive fees. Okay. I would certainly recommend that.
Thank you. That sounds good.
I mean,
we can certainly ask counsel.
I mean, you know, since Mr. Ward is the applicant, would that be okay for you as to convert this into a variance application that would be specific to your particular property and not a text amendment that would affect everybody in Curie Beach?
And let me, before you answer that question, Mr. Ward, variance application, you would have, and I think you've done it in part tonight, but you'd have to present evidence that an unnecessary hardship would result from the strict application of the fence regulation as it currently is. That the hardship results from conditions which are peculiar to the property, such as location, size. Hardship did not result from actions taken provision that the act of purchasing the property with knowledge of those circumstances is not a self-created hardship. So the fact that you bought the property doesn't hurt you, and that the request of variance is consistent with the spirit, purpose, and intent of the zoning regulations. Those are the four things you'd have to prove to Board of Adjustment. Some documentation, if you could figure out how to do that, would be a good idea. John could probably handle the Google Maps situation, because I'm impressed with your all's confidence on that. And with the chairman of BCC testifying on your behalf, that may be something you want to consider doing. But again, John, I'm not trying to speak for you. And you, if you disagree with that approach, you can probably help Mr. Ward to know that.
Stranger things have happened, I don't hear a whole lot of cases, it might be a good thing. I don't know.
Well, you got everything to gain and nothing to lose with the variance.
I feel like everybody on P&Z, for the most part, agrees that there probably is room for us to tweak the ordinance. And I have to say again that we are hit with this weekly.
Well, that's the other consideration. If a text amendment ends up working for him and for the benefit of the town and for the application of the ordinance as used in the P&Z, yeah, that would be the better way to go. I mean, knocking out three birds instead of just one.
What I'm afraid of is that a text amendment might not satisfy his particular situation if we talk about kind of tweaking the fences and all that sort of thing. But I think everybody is sensitive to his, Mr. Ward's, unique situation. I don't think there's any question about that.
With a variance, it may even be possible, if he wants to have the side fence all the way up his property on the street side. To the front corner of the house.
I was gonna, for the sake of transparency, I was gonna shell out some extra funds, because John's, I've got actually a huge window, a double window that looks right in my living room, and we were just gonna probably invest in a Bahama shutter or something to help out on that. I certainly love you very much for saying what you just said. And I'll certainly take you up on that offer if available. My bride will come over and give you a big hug.
Well, the reasons that we're talking about trying to make it work for you occur the whole length of the street side of your house.
Yes, sir.
So, personally, I don't see...
But I still want to go all the way to the front. I take it to where my screen porch starts. That's where I want to go all the way, to the front.
Yeah, not the whole, length of the home. Yeah, the reasons don't change for the additional part.
Right.
One thing Ms. Chase mentioned that I think it bears your remembering. Council, I think you got three choices. We can tweak the ordinance all the way to what, we can shut this process down and go with variance. But council can also hear the existing text amendment, maybe with some tweaks or not, as Ms. Chase points out, March 21st. So, you've got a text amendment that's still active. If you could figure out ways to tweak it or let it ride as it is, if council can act on this month on the 21st in lieu of the variance, which would probably be kicked to April for Board of Adjustment, or in lieu of rewriting the fence provisions, which is going to take longer than either of those two alternatives. So just something to keep in mind. Thank you, Ms. Chief.
Does anybody else want to speak? I mean, I don't think there's any motion on this.
What would it take to make this existing text amendment application feasible? Because if you can figure out a way to make it, is it feasible as it as requested?
Well,
or does it need something? And if it needs something, we could do that prior to council on the 21st.
The text amendment was written as an orientation to the property line. So I think it was like 50% coming up the side of the side yard.
Can you qualify the text amendment to limit its application?
You mean a text amendment that would only be applicable to this property?
Well, you wouldn't go about it in such a heavy-handed way. Is there something about the corner lot? Again, I don't understand what this property is, but is there something about the location and the configuration and the type of lot that would make you more comfortable with text amending it as requested, since this qualification would limit the scope of the applicability of that text amendment?
Well, yeah, I mean, my own personal opinion is that's kind of taking a variance approach here, is that if you have a text amendment that's kind of unique to a particular property.
I wouldn't make it unique to the property. I'm just wondering if you can make it a little more unique.
But I mean, the problem I have with the text amendment is that it's oriented to the property line and not to the building. You know, I mean, I don't have a problem approaching it from the Sunset Beach point of view. You know, where it's a 6-foot fence would be allowed a certain number of feet behind the front building. But I didn't see a single one that I looked at. And you might be able to find one, but the ones that I looked at, none of them had anything written like this.
Can you pull up the Google Maps camera?
Yeah, I saw
that. One more thing and I'll shut up. Do you remember last month I asked you, we talked about the ordinance and the definition of a rear yard, the applicability of putting that 6-foot fence in your rear yard. And you remember I asked you, you know, the rear yard means the yard across the full width of the lot as measured from the furthest rear point of the principal building to the rear line of the lot. You remember I pointed out I had one instance where there was a large chimney mm-hmm. off the back of the house. Would that be considered the very furthest point of the principal building or not?
I don't think that's the intention. It might be, you know, I mean, one of the problems of the existing ordinance would
well,
be to tweak that, yeah.
I'm bringing this up because there are some of the situations I run into. And so what I'm sitting here thinking about is is there a way that we can rewrite the ordinance to encompass things like chimneys or back decks or something like that? In other words, say you can have a 6-foot fence from your rear yard to the widest point of the principal structure on the lot. Something along those lines that would encompass all lots in Cherry Beach, but it would still be structure specific, because that's really what we have here is the ordinance is structure specific. You follow my line of thinking?
What if 3/4 of the back of the house is more narrow than the first quarter of the front of the house? Then that fence would come.
Question. That means that they could put a 6-foot fence
all the way up to.
But
that.
You could also have the back of the lot, like I mentioned on 5th and H, the house on 5th and H. He's got 50 feet of his back property that is 50 feet from the back property line to the back of his house. That's why he's got a fence there.
Would it be possible very quickly to pull up the Sunset Beach ordinance? You know, don't want to belabor this too much, but would it be possible to get into the Sunset Beach and see the mechanism that they have to deal with exactly this type of issue?
John, is there a way to do something like if your property is next to parking or commercial?
I mean, that's another good option. Put in there that this is close to a public facility type location,
which
it's
is
like a buffer or anything else separating residential from commercial.
I think that would be easier to add in. you know, because I think that allows him a little more flexibility.
That's another great suggestion. Hold on, I'm going to try to get it for you.
And that would still encompass the whole street side.
Yes. I mean, because of it, is it commercial and or, you know, parking or whatever.
Let me interrupt real quickly. We've got a couple requests to take a break. So if we can take about a 5-minute break, I think that would be good. So let's go ahead and take a 5-minute break, and we can think about these things too. All right, we're back in session. Just for reference, we've pulled up the fence regulation for Sunset Beach since I've mentioned that.
Chairman, let me take over for a second. This must be what you saw, subsection 5, design and construction details should be reviewed and approved by planning board prior to construction.
It's not what I saw. There's a separate paragraph, I'm sure of it, that there's a separate paragraph that talks about that if fences don't align with each other, that the board has a right to look at it.
Okay,
and that was under subdivision, by the way. Yeah, they've got them broken down.
Yeah, Jim, it's 7.9 we're looking at.
Where was that?
Keep going.
I see this. I don't know. Number 3, I don't know if that's relevant.
It says, well, number 4 is the where it's placed 5 feet behind the front footprint of the structure.
If circumstances exist.
Where's that?
Keep reading. Unusual.
Yeah, there it is, yeah. It says the circumstances exist related to asymmetrical lot lines, lot combinations, or unusual property line configuration relative to the location of the existing primary structure, the planning board may modify the standard upon review and approval of a sketch plan.
I still am troubled by that to the extent that I would want to understand better Sunset Beach's planning board's authority. I just don't want to get clinical, but that's the discretionary matter, and I just don't understand how. I'm sure there's more to this than that provision somewhere else in the code, but. Regardless, we could follow that route, but I did like what you suggested during the break. I don't remember exactly how you...
Well, what I suggested is something similar to the Sunset Beach, where a side yard fence of 6 feet would be permitted up to, say, 5 feet behind the front footprint of the structure. That would have to be better defined.
I'm talking about taking the existing text amendment application putting in
there. Let me finish if it's possible. Okay. So what it would be is that, okay, that it would be allowed 6 feet in the side yard up to 5 feet from the front of the building for properties that are adjacent to non-residential structures or
and
properties.
I think we can include in there for purposes of this provision, abutting or adjacent shall be construed to across the street. We can take care of that. You're going to, if I understood you correctly, you would allow the 6 feet to run up the side yard to a point 5 feet back from the front corner of the structure.
That's correct.
And I would allow it up to the corner of the front of the structure.
Well, we can get into those weeds in a second, but does that... Doesn't that text amendment take care of the problem?
With yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot more than what he was asking for.
Well, we can figure out the distance up the front corner in a second. But does that limitation? How does that impact as a text amendment across the board? Do you see any problems with taking that?
I honestly would like to ride around and kind of look at it first.
I mean, it certainly limits it to specific properties rather than simply saying 6 feet for all properties on
the
side yard.
You said commercial and or public parking. That would be that area when they park in the median there.
Well, you'd have to, commercial institution, you'd have to make sure what the church was. or just non-residential is a better catch.
Well, it's more the parking for the church that, you know.
I mean, if you went from non to
okay, I see,
parking
lots, not I see your point.
Adjacent to non-residential properties.
And I should point out that some of the ordinances, actually many of the ordinances that I looked at did have something like that, that allowed a 6-foot fence, even though that they would be more restrictive if you're adjacent to other residential properties. If you're adjacent to a non-residential property, that they allowed a 6-foot fence on the side yard. So that's certainly not unheard of and would solve this particular problem. But again, you know, as John mentioned, yeah, it's certainly more restricted than simply saying allowing 6-foot fences on the side yard for everybody, because this would be only applicable to properties that are adjacent to non, which I don't have a problem with because of privacy and security.
And I'd also say adjacent to public parking.
That opens it up a lot more, though.
Well, fine. Here's where I'm coming from.
I think
we've unpacked this thing as much as we can. Point two, I think he's got an active application. Or you have on the 21st. If you want to recommend to John language to insert into the application, I think that's appropriate. John says he wants to review the situation. I don't know how to. If we recommend language, and you can, John can do what he wants. If we're going to go with these text amendments that you're suggesting, and then John goes out and does his homework and determines they don't fit, then I don't know where we are on the 21st.
This actually kind of, and we're going to have a discussion later on about responsibilities and roadmap, because it kind of touches on that whole thing too. What, you know, according to the attorney right now, we don't have jurisdiction over a text amendment.
No, and I'd want to know more about how Sunset Beach pulled that off. There's some fundamental things I need to understand about that. But even if you went that route, even if it was okay to go, yeah, you don't have that authority now.
See, that's the issue. So what we actually did last time, according to the attorney, our attorney was outside of our jurisdiction to review text amendments.
Well, which, we'll get into all that.
Which surprised me, but I mean, that's the way it is. So the only thing that we can do right now is to kind of give some discussion recommendations to John and the applicant about how they may want to modify that text amendment as it goes before the next council meeting. And my recommendation, because we can't have a vote, I think it's appropriate for all the members of the commission to kind of just verbalize a recommendation, because it's not a vote type of recommendation. My recommendation is to allow a 6-foot fence on the side yard up to 5 feet from the front for non-residential properties, however you want to define that, non-residential, adjacent to non-residential properties.
Adjacent to non-residential, and plug in for purposes of this section, adjacent means non-residential properties separated by street or right.
And that would be my recommendation. But again, since we're not voting or coming to a consensus, I think everybody could give the recommendation, and then, yes.
Well, let's reach a consensus on a recommendation to make everybody's life on the other side easier.
Can I make a recommendation?
Sure.
Why don't we just go ahead and send this on the council? Council's already told you guys to revisit this. Let's put it on that next month's agenda. I realize that's not Mr. Ward's best interest, but I really would like to drive her up. What you're talking about doing right there, I feel like it's pretty big, and I'd really like to assess how many properties that would apply to. What you're suggesting is a lot bigger than what Mr. Ward was asking for. In that particular lot. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I want to know how many other properties this is going to.
Well, the current text amendment affects every property. I mean, if the text amendment is passed, it affects every property, not just a select number. So it seems to me that if this goes forward,
how many would be construed to be living across from non-residential property or parking lot or what have you?
If you want a consensus, how does the commission feel about this? My feeling is that the proposed text amendment doesn't work, and that I would be quite willing to recommend something like what we talked about here.
Well, I think John has been in on all of the conversations, so I don't think we need to recommend anything at this point. I think he can take it.
Your concern, John, is that it's maybe too generous compared to what the current text amendment is?
I'm just listening to the points you guys have made about why you don't want six-foot fences, and I'd like to go and says how many this would allow on a side yard.
The other thing I'd like to mention is when you say adjacent to non-residential, we need to clarify that it's on the side of the fence.
Right, right.
Because if I have non-residential in the rear, that doesn't allow me to put up a six-foot fence. So we have to watch whatever that final wording is.
I mean, ultimately, it's the applicant who has a decision. So what's your...
And you guys have already made a recommendation to deny the text amendment, so it just hasn't gone to council yet. So you just leave it on the agenda for next month.
Well, I mean, my own opinion is that if that goes to council as it is, and the council, say, denies it based upon the recommendation of the P&Z, which is what was our recommendation based upon that, what we can do is we're, I think, talking about something now that if the text amendment was amended to reflect, I think, what we're talking about, there's a much better chance, I think, that council would accept that and you could get the fence built quicker.
But I think it will be amended. We could stop the conversation right now and that text amendment will be amended.
Listening to the conversation of one of the commission members there, he was, and I believe the mayor too, made it very clear that they were glad that it went to the P&Z because they wouldn't have, I mean, well, you were there. I heard it. So I think that I'm trying to figure out a way to get this moving quicker so the applicant could have something that could be approved by the council quicker than the council looking at the existing text amendment, probably saying that, well, you know, I can't see the council amending the text amendment during their meeting. They'll probably kick it back to P&Z or something.
No,
I'm
saying the applicant.
The applicant can amend it, yeah, absolutely.
I think John's got a lot of information from P&Z that he can work with, and I think he wants reasonably to assess the impact of that approach. That makes perfect sense to me. Personally, I don't have any problem with John's got his own authority. If he runs around and finds it doesn't have a significantly adverse impact, perhaps he can take it upon himself to plug in some additional language along the lines we've recommended, and council can act on that proposed amendment on the 21st.
Well, we have our liaison here from council. I mean, what's your general opinion? I mean, you've heard all this conversation.
Well, I'm not officially the liaison. I'm here in the absence.
Okay, the absence of the liaison. So.
Gosh, guys, y'all going around and around tonight. I don't know. I think council's going to be willing to hear a change in the text amendment. I don't think it's necessarily a given that we'll deny it because the P&Z denied it, if it's explained the right way. But I would only be one vote. You know, I can't say how the other folks on the other commissioner will feel.
So I guess the issue is that you go into the council with an amended text amendment based upon what our conversation is, or take what was originally submitted to the council.
I think we all realize this could have been handled a lot better, and if we can make a way to make it amended and make it work. This is a unique situation. I know our ordinance doesn't say that word in there, but that's what it is.
Do you think council would be receptive to possibly looking at an amended version of the application on the 21st? Is that
I would say yes.
Yeah, I would say yes as the clerk because they instructed you guys to revisit it.
To revisit, which is what we're doing.
So they're going to want something back.
And how we revisit it.
And with the chairman being there to explain what we've discussed tonight, what y'all discussed tonight.
Okay. All right, well, I don't think there's a motion that we need to make. I think we've kind of discussed this extensively. So is there any further discussion? Okay. The last one then is related to this, actually. Mr. Eldridge made, in talking about this text amendment, Mr. Eldridge made a point in council meeting that according to essentially the roadmap and responsibilities of planning and zoning, is that things like text amendment and other things actually don't come to P&Z where historically they always have. And so this is going to be, and so again, it was suggested by the council that they look seriously along with staff about what sort of things should go to the different committees. And one of the things that was suggested is that the P&Z specifically look and give recommendations to council about the sort of things that we should review and then make a recommendation to council, and that a new roadmap is going to be put together essentially for these type of things. And so the attorney made a statement that actually our responsibilities are fairly limited to a particular, one chapter. But the council did ask us to look at other things that we may want to have come to planning and zoning, such as text amendments and stuff like that. So I'm sure Mr. Eldridge has something to say about this.
You're right. And first of all, do you have access to the memorandum that's on your team? So you've got that. At the last council meeting, for some time, I have felt, and I'm going to end up eating my words, for some time I felt that PZC ought to have additional review and comment responsibilities, point one. Point two, right now, under statute and under code, you certainly have the duty and responsibility of reviewing and making a recommendation concerning amendments to the zoning regulations and the zoning map. Again, I felt that perhaps that role could be expanded, and in the council meeting I expressed that view, and we kind of agreed on an action plan where I would figure out a list of perhaps expanded responsibilities. The mayor would discuss that with department heads, and I would bring that to PCC for further discussion. In attempting to implement that action plan, I looked at the code in detail, and I have to say that I've changed my mind based on the unique nature of the code, which we'll talk about in a second. I don't think there is a reason to expand your responsibilities for reporting and recommendations on things beyond the zoning map and zoning regulations other than one section. And let me go to that right now. Under the code, again, you've got responsibility to comment on zoning regulation changes and zoning map regulations. That's a shall. Under the code, you may, if council forwards it to you, review and recommend on changes to the subdivision regulations. I don't think, it's my opinion, that in addition to making the subdivision review and comment shall, that I think your responsibility should stop right there, and we can get a sense of why I say that by looking at the table of contents to the code and also looking at something else. For example, Chapter 1, very general provisions. There's nothing in there. I don't even think there's been any amendments to that for a very long time. Administration was rewritten in conformity with 160D. And we really can't change those regulations or those provisions in the code under Chapter 2 because they are black and white mandated by 160D. So number 2, Chapter 2 is not subject to much discretionary amendments at all. Municipal procedures, likewise, that doesn't concern PCC. General revenue, Chapter 4 doesn't concern PCC.
Chapter 5, Licenses and Business Regulations, doesn't concern PZC, keeping in mind that you do review and comment on things other than zoning regulations when council has approved or instructed you to. Good examples of that tonight are the fence regulations, which are Chapter 11. But likewise, your anti-light pollution ordinance and your anti-graffiti ordinance, they were not Chapter 15 regulations, but you received your instruction from council to proceed along those lines. And that's where we had the discussion and the review and the report on text amendments. So you do have that fallback provision, but likewise, Chapter 6 Criminal Code, there's nothing that PZC would review and recommend there. Public utilities is basically essentially stormwater, very technical stuff, and stormwater right now, the town's regulation of stormwater is pursuant to a model ordinance that was delegated to us from the state sometime back in 2007, I believe, might have been 2014. Very technical and mandated to the town council by the North Carolina Administrative Code and by agreement with the regional office, so there's nothing for PZC to do there. Public health and safety, again, these are not land use planning and development. Neither is Chapter 9, animal services. Neither is Chapter 10, motor vehicles. Buildings and building regulations could conceivably be something that PZC could get involved with, but again, those provisions are mandated by statute. The building code, the minimum housing code, the remedies that the code provides for, they are all verbatim, black and white, based on statutory mandate. So there's no discretion to change those things. Chapter 12, planning and development regulations, that's where, I'll show it to you. That's where you've got the town boards and commissions, their composition, their duties and responsibilities, administration, enforcement, and appeals. That's what happens with building permits and other approvals that John would, and code enforcement. All that falls under building and inspections. Adopting, amending, and repealing development regulations. Again, that's pursuant to statute. We can't change what 160D is telling us we need to do. Likewise, for judicial review. Community development and services. Again, if you look at the side topics, none of that includes land use development or planning. It may be that you could carve out little articles here and there out of these chapters, but I think that's more bother and fuss than it's worth. I think you would start getting into the weeds if we tried to say, well, look, Chapter 13 doesn't pertain to PZC's duties and responsibilities, except for maybe 13.14, recreation. I just don't think we need to, I think that's penny wise, pound foolish. Subdivision regulations, you'll see in a second, I do think we need to be involved there. PZC, that is, and zoning regulations, we already are. There's one other thing I want to show you, and that's the definition of development regulations. And again, it's kind of like a checklist where you would see that we don't have, PZC doesn't have much to do. Let's see, development, where would be development regulations? Must be Chapter 12. Development regulations, the UDO, we don't have that. Zoning regulation, PZC already does that. Subdivision regulations, I'm proposing that PZC does that. Erosion and sedimentation control, I don't think we have that unless it's part of stormwater, but again, that's technical and expertise, usually requiring the assistance of engineers, so it's not anything that's general enough or discretionary enough. Floodplain or flood damage prevention, again, that's all mandated and John handles that. There's nothing that, there's no discretionary control over those things. If you want to participate in that program and help lower flood insurance premiums, wireless telecommunication facility regulations, again, not pertinent at the current time to BZC's functions. Historic preservation, well, that's a Chapter 15 regulation, and we've already got that as a result of BZC's duty to look at amendments to the zoning regulations. Housing code, again, very statutory driven, no room for discretionary changes. State building code enforcement, totally John's department, nothing for PZC to look at or act on there, or any other regulation adopted under this chapter. We've been through the table of contents, so you will see that either under the development regulation definition or the table of contents for our code, that I think the only areas would be the text amendments that I'm suggesting that we, because we've gotten council's approval to look at these things, let's go ahead and look at these things and report on them. Beth, I don't have this email to myself. Can we get up? I guess I could go to the agenda, but could you just do me a favor and get the text amendments up on the screen? There's one other thing that is missing in the code at the present time, and that is a straightforward black and white procedure for adopting text amendments to the code that are not development regulations. Again, development regulations, very broad concept. The adoption, repeal, and amendment of those things that are covered in Chapter 12. So for anything else in the code, there's not a procedure. And that's what I'm proposing we add to Chapter 1, a procedure for amendments to the code that are not development regulations. And you can see that we, A1, set forth in writing, showing what's deleted, what's inserted, and where it's going to be in the code. Number 2, no later than 2 weeks prior to the meeting during which Town Council will consider and act on the proposed amendment. Town Council has the exclusive authority, and they do it about legislative hearings unless they want to have a legislative hearing, but distribute that proposed amendment to all department heads and the town attorney for review and comment, said feedback being presented to council. Although not otherwise required for amendments to non-development regulations, town council in its discretion may conduct a legislative hearing. There's provisions in there about how to notice such a hearing. C, likewise, town council in its discretion may prefer the proposed amendment to PZC for review and non-binding recommendations. So again, let's flip the page and then I'll summarize. You can go to the next one. Thank you. This is the only change that I recommend with regards to expanding PZC's review and recommendation responsibilities. The top one is current. You'll see the word may in the first line. Town Council may amend the subdivision regulations. This is the subdivision chapter 14. May submit the proposed amendment to PZC for review and recommendations. Proposed amendment takes that may and turns it into a shall. I do think PZC ought to look at subdivision regulations. So, in summary, I thought we could expand PZC's recommendations and review and recommendations role more than it currently is, but when I looked at detail in the code and I looked at detail for the definition of development regulations, the only other area that seemed to fit would be the area of subdivision regulations. And you have that text amendment in front of you. Likewise, as I discussed with council during its last meeting, there is no black and white procedure for amending provisions in the code that are not development regulations. Development regulations are essentially Chapter 11, Chapter 12, Chapter 14, Chapter 13, and Chapter 15. All the other chapters would be straightforward amendments by town council without legislative hearings, but that procedure is not written down. And in the past, it's resulted in some ambiguities. For example, the fence amendment came to you originally, although it's a Chapter 11 and it's not, it wasn't part of your bailiwick. And again, keep in mind if you're thinking of examples like, well, what about graffiti? What about light pollution? Bless you. What about fences, Chapter 2, Version 2 tonight? Those all come from council approving your initiative and instructing you on how to proceed. So my recommendation is, since council's been advised of this initiative or this assignment, consider whether the proposed text amendment setting forth the procedure for amending the code for non-development regulations and for expanding PCC's role to subdivision regulations in a mandatory and not discretionary way. If you agree with these text amendments, then make a recommendation to council to adopt them this upcoming month, this March 21st. I'd be glad to answer any questions you might have. Mm-hmm.
The way that we left, maybe you could comment on that, the way that the council left it is that it seemed to me that they were going to talk to the various administrative offices as well as asking P&Z to come up with kind of a laundry list of different things that we felt and the administrative officers felt that needed to be reviewed by them or by P&Z or anything like that. Yeah. So
again, my review indicated that there's no need for such a checklist because everything I just talked about ruled out expanding or creating such a checklist. And in my memo, I say the remaining chapters of the code, remaining being those chapters other than Chapter 15 or 14, do not warrant PZC review and comment in that they're either not related to planning and development, or they're mandated under the general statutes, or they require compliance with technical requirements beyond PCC's authority. So yes, that was the instruction from council to feed the mayor for department head meetings, but there's no reason to go through that because there's nothing that PCC should do other than what it's already doing plus subdivision regulation. That's my opinion.
Well,
this memorandum will go to council.
I think it's kind of the opinions of the department heads coming into this meeting with the mayor is that somebody needs to review it.
Well,
there needs to be another body reviewing it.
Reviewing it?
Changes. I mean, so like in the past, P&Z's reviewed things just like the Spence one's a prime example. So it just shows up and goes to council?
Well, that's my understanding of how non-development regulation amendments to the code have generally been handled.
Can our council decide different? Can they task P&Z with handling it?
Yes, but the question, and I'm not challenging you, certainly.
Yeah, no, I'm just curious because I know we talk amongst, the department has to talk amongst themselves trying to get ready for this meeting coming up with the mayor.
It's my fault for opening my mouth and having to eat my words. I thought it'd be an expanded role, but for example, do you want PCC, I'm just hypothetically, do you want them to comment on changes to the criminal code or the stormwater regulations or things that are driven by statute
or
administration?
Like
department heads.
Or committees or something, but I mean, something like the fence thing,
I think it's going to be a pretty good conversation on the 7th, but we don't have very many text amendment applications anywhere outside of the development regulations.
Right.
I don't care where fences is, that's development, and that's part of zoning too, so I feel like it was very appropriate to come to planning and zoning.
I don't disagree, because Chapter 11, I think, is also... got your stuff in it, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
might
have some
light and fire stuff.
Yeah, tents on the beach.
So when I when I agreed with you that fencing could fit, then I'm in the business of carving out that little article and leaving the rest behind.
And historically, I believe council has left it to the discretion of the property department head for where that to go. And to have something written out now, that's great. I think that's great. And what Mandy is talking about is, I'm sure, will be discussed more when you have other changes that probably need to happen. It would be nice if there was an overview board to produce a recommendation to town council before they're just blindsided with it.
I don't disagree with that.
And I don't think this board would be a bad alternative for that, depending on what it is.
How do you cover the things that, depending on what it is, that wouldn't come here? Don't forget, now, the recommended, I'm open, don't get me wrong.
When you look at
the recommended procedures for adopting non-development regulations.
Did you have that in there? It says the responsibility of P&amp;J to extract.
Powers and duties.
Going to the
and then we take direction from council.
And feed that in the council.
I guess where that? Where that? Where do you want?
Look at it like that.
Whatever you all want to do,
that's just part of the discussion that came up, and I'm sure we'll have on the substitute. That's all I mean.
Okay. Yeah, that's all I was saying.
So do you want to, so we need a consensus from council or a motion, I guess a consensus, to pass these on to council for further discussion?
Well, let me, just very quickly, when you look at the powers and duties of the Planning and Zoning Commission in general, just very quickly, it's to prepare, review, maintain, monitor, and periodically update and recommend to town council a comprehensive plan and such other plans are deemed appropriate to conduct ongoing related research, data collection, mapping, and analysis necessary to the understanding of past trends, present conditions, and forces at work. So that, you know, obviously is one reason why we'll be looking at land use. B, to facilitate and coordinate citizen engagement and participation in the planning process. C is to develop and recommend policies, ordinances, development regulations, administrative procedures, and other means for carrying out plans in a coordinated and efficient manner. D is to advise the governing board concerning the implementation of plans, including but not limited to review and comment on all zoning text and map amendments as required. So what you're talking about is what D is here. E is to exercise any functions in the administrative and enforcement of various means for carrying out plans that the governing board may direct. And then F is to perform any other duties that the governing board may direct.
Now, the only thing in there relative to code amendments is E, zoning regulation. If you go to Chapter 14, subdivision regulation, there's also the provision I'm recommending amending, where council currently may submit the subdivision regulation amendment to you all to review, and I'm recommending changing that to shall. But those are the only two areas outside of the points that Mandy and John raised that I currently see PCC playing a role.
You know, my feeling is that we should, as a council, individually look through the ordinances and see if there's any things that we feel that we should review. You know, that might be
the board.
I mean the commission, because that's what we were asked to do by council. You know, council specifically asked us to look through and come up with recommendations of things that we think should come before planning and zoning. I think everybody recognizes that there's a lot that, you know, that isn't appropriate that's going to come here, but there might be bits and pieces and other things in other chapters that might be appropriate. That
I just want to be careful about, I can't think of the common phrase, picking something patchwork, because that's just going to result in confusion. For example, if PZC does not look at Chapter 13 except for Articles 7, 11, and 13, who's going to keep track of that? You know, if you have a whole recipe card full of what you can and cannot look at, then you're getting into micromanaging and it's going to be confusing.
Well, that was...
I can assure you that if I have something even remotely related, or I think it should be, if I have to go to town council with a text amendment, I'm going to ask them to recommend you guys look at it for
No, absolutely. But I'm also thinking about, as Mandy was talking about, it that it seems to me that what council was implying when we left is that they wanted to have some sort of a roadmap, like a diagram, that if it's in this area, it goes to this person or department within the town. If it's in this area, it goes to P&Z. If it's in this area,
No, what I was saying that was that the way that it's reviewed, so like if something comes up with bicycle, pedestrian, whatever it may be that needs to be changed, but it really zeroes in on a certain, or stormwater or something like that, then it all of them come to all the department heads. So maybe we need to handle that differently. Instead of it going out in email and everyone reviewing it, maybe we need to have a meeting where we all sit down and go over it in depth as of our own committee or group. And then, but when you've got things very specific to like stormwater or bike head and things like that, get their input as well, specifically.
I just heard the word roadmap, and Maybe it's my university thing, because we have roadmaps for approval ad nauseum, you know. And so if it's this sort of thing, if it's a change in a course description, you know, we actually have a roadmap. It has to go here. It has to go here. If I apply for a grant, it's got to go to 7 different people to approve it. You know, all these roadmaps. And so when I was hearing roadmap, I was thinking something like that, where if it's in this category, it goes here to this administrative office. If it's in this category, it goes to P&Z. But maybe I was wrong in that interpretation.
I think I persuaded council that there was some logic in increasing PCC's role. But afterwards, I found, to my chagrin, where I had to eat my own words, that I no longer thought that, except for subdivision regulation.
I sat with the code on and off for 2 or 3 days, looking through every single chapter and reading everything, and I completely agree with what you're saying.
So you've actually looked through all the code and mm-hmm. feel that mm-hmm. this is appropriate, okay.
Which I did too.
Mm-hmm. Which I already did.
Yeah. And,
so is
but
there,
I don't know that, I think that the mayor and the department heads would be the next stop for this, right? You're having your meeting, and because as it says in chapter 12, that planning and zoning is to take direction from the governing body. We're here to perform the duties that town council tells us to do. I think it's flipped for us to recommend to town council what they should do.
I think we got in the habit because we took the lead in pollution, light pollution, graffiti, and something else that I don't recall.
Oh, and what really brought it to light for me was when the chief of police came about the solicitations. Like that has nothing to do with us, and I didn't know why it came through. It came to P&Z, so maybe we are better understanding.
As an aside, I think that's going to come to PCC because we've gotten the green light from council to proceed that way. So in a sense, it's very like the light pollution and the graffiti. Don't forget, you know, we routinely get clearance from council to look at things that under the code we wouldn't normally look at. Let me just ask one question. In order, don't you think that I can change the 2 on the memorandum and proposed text amendments and send that to the mayor for the department head meeting? Because I do say in there that upon review, I didn't see anything else.
Yeah, just copy me on it.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll do that.
Well, one other thing that comforts me is John's statement that, you know, if there's some question, he would bring it to P&Z, because quite frankly, I know P&Z is an opportunity to debate issues. I mean, this is where you can have some pretty good debates, and you know, and we're not going to agree with each other. I mean, that's just the nature. You know, I mean, I live in a world where everybody disagrees with each other at the university.
I think it's an incredibly useful function. Yeah. I'm sure council feels the same way.
And so that's good, you know, to provide that sort of feedback. So as long as
I just want a clear process that we can write out in the code.
Yeah. And, you know, and hopefully these debates, that there's no hard feelings. I mean, it's, you know, that's what everybody has an opinion, and, you know, that's what, you know, the vote is all for and stuff like that. So, but anyway, if that's, so is there a motion for this or any other conversation?
I don't want a motion, just a consensus. And why don't we, let me feed this to the mayor and the department head. Mandy's made some good points. John's made some good points. And I think we can carry this further with their comments and your report on the 21st to council and see where we go from there.
Okay, my report on, not the fences, but on this issue?
In addition to the fences.
In addition, okay, this issue, okay. All right, so I guess you don't need a motion for
it. With Mandy and John.
Is this okay, no motion?
Yes.
Okay, so I think, is there any new business? One of the issues was changing the time for future P&Zs. So, again, the recommendation, since we're overlapping now with HBC, is the recommendation to change our P&Z start time to 6 o'clock from 6:30. Is there a second on that?
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any other new business? Nope. Is there a motion to adjourn? Yes.
I looked back through our timeline for land use plan, just for y'all's information. The draft will be recommended for approval by the planning board, so we'll get it to y'all for review. At the same time, we'll go to the coastal management for review, and then we'll have the second workshop, and then it will come to council for presentation.
Is the second workshop with the P&Z, or is it a separate workshop?
It'll be a separate
okay.
Public workshop.
All right.
All right, I found that. Now, the dates they give us are all thrown out of whack because of other issues, but that's the order that we will.
Okay, so it'll come to P&Z, and I'm pretty sure we're supposed to hold a hearing on it, too, if I remember.
The hearing will be held with council once it gets to the council.
Okay, so
is
that was...
Is there a deadline? Is there a goal date?
No, our time, this is old, but our timeline... It's shot off.
So it's just open-ended.
Yeah.
It's gonna go as it needs to go.
Yeah, we'll have an update on that.
Yeah, I'd say we're about 2 months from this right now. So.
Sorry about that.
They're looking at July.
Okay.
Having it wrapped by July.
And there was a requirement. There's a statute, 160D requires adoption of land use plans by July 1. But that's only for communities that don't have one.
Right.
Now we're still using that target date, but the important thing is we have one.
Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Not yet. I have one more thing.
Sorry.
Just really quick, I'm going to apologize that we did not have that text amendment for the fence on the agenda. I don't think we realized it was supposed to go there because the way the meeting ended, it was just kind of weird. And so we thought it was denied. So apparently if it's denied, it still goes to council. But when we send out the, Beth sends out her email about the agenda and anything needing to be added. So I'm going to ask you guys to please, we're human, so please check behind us and make sure everything that needs to be on that agenda is on that agenda. That's why we send that email out twice. And the only thing we got back about that was the discussion from you. So that's the only thing that was discussed at council. But please, you know, we sent it to committee chairs, we sent it to department heads, we sent it to all council. So please, if y'all see something, let us know.
Right.
But we wouldn't have gotten that.
You guys don't get it, the committee chairs get it.
Right, so I came in prepared to talk about it, or not talk about it, depending on whether it was on the agenda or not.
We didn't realize it was supposed to be on the agenda.
Right. But certainly, Commissioner Ellen made it pretty clear that he was very appreciative of that discussion taking place here, because we were talking about a lot of different issues that...
Right.
So, you know, it's good that...
But the bottom line is it was denied at the meeting. It still should have went to council.
Well, we didn't, you know, to use the right word, though, we didn't deny anything because it's not our place to deny.
Well,
we
just, too.
We just...
We recommended not approving.
That's what we recommended.
I don't know, but anyway, that's why I wanted to wasn't on the agenda because yeah. I didn't know what the heck we were
doing. No, my thought when I didn't see it on the agenda is I thought it had been withdrawn by the applicant.
I thought it had been withdrawn.
Yeah, that's what I thought. To
this way on me, I'm good.
So, all right.
I mean, we're fine. Please, y'all, if you see something like that, bring it to our attention so that we can question, hey, are we so bad? And if you see something, we can go to John and say, John, is this Ezekiel here? Is it still alive? Or is it dead? Or is it wrong? Just, you know. Okay. We don't want to delay anyone.
I think overall it's going to work out for the best, so I mean it's fine. So. Okay, there is a motion to adjourn. It's been seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right. Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah, you want to keep going?
I want to keep going. Yeah.